cutting grass.
And swallow your pride and be like, I'm going to call Dave. But call him, reach out to him and be like, dog, I just need to. But a lot of us don't do that.
I'm going
to
jump in. I started going live. We pretty much know what depression is.
Just the love that we're showing this man.
Are things that you have to monitor and manage yourself, right? That's where those relationships starting to be more important. I think
get in on the conversation. It's their time, it's your time, it's our time to gel.
Newberry, he was the football coach and the track coach. Now he's my preacher at my church. And I don't even call him Rev, I still call him coach.
Right.
And it's just that type of relationship, and you have to have that. Man, you.
That's crazy. That's my son's coach.
Yeah.
That's my son's basketball coach. Small world, man.
What, now?
Yeah, right now. Yeah, Drill High School. I'm sure you're talking about the same guy. They got the same name. I think my son told me he's from Newberry.
Yeah, and, Coach Caldwell has a little slow eye.
And
he's older.
That might be his son.
Yeah, it might be his son.
His son.
Yeah.
Okay. His son, thin frame, kind of on the skinny side. Not overly short. I'd say about 5'8", 5'9", something like that.
Uh-huh.
See, he coaches at Drill High School.
Okay, that might be him. That might be because I remember Jamie Caldwell passed away, right?
Yeah, Jamie.
How old is he, the coach you're talking about? I think Coach Caldwell was in his 40s.
Nah, not this. The Reverend at my church, he's about 70, probably 75, 80 almost.
He is mid-70.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, but like I said, the biggest thing is being able to eat a little crow and swallow your pride and be like, I'm going to call David. No, I don't talk to him, but I'm gonna call him, reach out to him, and be like, "Dog, I just need your ear for a second." But a lot of us don't do that.
Right.
A lot of us don't do that.
I'm gonna jump in. I just shared. We done started going live. The other guys said they coming on. So we pretty much know what depression is, and so I'm gonna go over some of the symptoms. Feeling hopelessness, helplessness and sadness, feeling anxious or numb, feeling guilty or worthless, and having low self-esteem. I think that's a huge one. Low energy and fatigue, trouble sleeping or sleeping too much, trouble eating and eating too much, difficult thinking or concentrating, slower movement and speech, agitation, irritability, low or no interest in activities that you love. That's another big one. And suicidal thoughts. Most of all of those are things that you have to monitor and manage yourself, right? But a couple of those, if Chris knows me well, or like we know each other, and Chris know I ain't been to the baseball field in a minute, right? And I've been distant when he called. I don't really answer. I used to answer all the time, and I don't answer. And I'm not doing the things that I love. That's where those relationships starting to be more important. You know what I'm saying? When we got to reach out. Hey, man. And I think a lot of times, I think in our minds, I think we make everything bigger. We start talking about reaching out. Bro, reaching out is, hey, bro, you good. You know what I mean? Reaching out is, hey, bro, you good. It ain't going to sit out. I think we make it bigger than what, hey, bro, you good. Like, I haven't heard from you. You haven't been to the game. like, I think we find reasons not to do certain things, and it's just easier to make excuses. And I think making the excuse is more difficult than saying, hey, bro, you good. Hey, bro, you good. Take a couple seconds. Trying to find a excuse. Anyway, a couple of celebrities. Adele, Beyonce, Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga, Kerry Washington, Halle Berry, Kourtney Kardashian, they all, and it's more, like a lot more than Google, they all been diagnosed with some form of depression. And the two big ones I want to really talk about, remember Primetime. He's been in, you know, we talked about him a lot. That's kind of how he got off track last week, but it was a great discussion. Coach Prime, y'all remember when he, in his heyday, he literally tried to kill him.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
He tried to do it.
Yeah.
This dude is a star in baseball and football at the same time. Nobody really ever done it but him and Bo Jackson. But I think Dion was better at both for a longer period of time. So, but think about someone like that. This dude is like, must be the music. He got a video, rap video. But yet, the enemy can get inside of him and tell him to snatch his car going 90 something by night. I don't know how fast. He said he was going fast. Dude. And yeah. So I want us to be like, recognize that we are no different than them when you start talking about depression, money, your house, your car, your wife, your husband, none of that. Your kids making straight A's. None of that. All it takes, I read somewhere was talking about life changes and events, things happen. Like, I don't know if you guys, but I'm going to talk about my first experience. My dad and my brother died in 94, almost 4 months apart, not quite. And my family is very close. And so at the time, I didn't know that I was depressed because it's not something that people talk about. And so I went into drinking. Everybody who knows me, Chris, know I'm not, I've always been an athletic person, lift weights 2 times a day, all that. And so I went to drinking cases of beer, any kind of margarita, anything I can get my hands on every day. And I did it for a couple of months. And it just so happened that my best friend, I got two best friends, and they came to visit me one day, and they knew that was very unusual behavior for me. And they checked me. And that's what they should do. That's what they were supposed to do. And I thank God for them, because if they didn't check me, if they would have just turned a blind eye like it wasn't happening, who knows how that could have turned out. And I've dealt with it now that I realize what it was. I've dealt with depression since. But we got to get to the point. We can't. All that stuff I was telling Chris before you jumped on, Jason, I'm all right. Yeah. It's okay to not be all right. But think about how many people say that they are right and go in that dark place and start having those thoughts about hurting themselves. So we got to untrain that. No, bro, I'm not all right. You got a minute? Hey, bro, I'm not all right. Do you have a minute? Like, we got it. That's got to become the normal. How can I tell somebody? Chris called me and I know I need somebody. And Chris called and said, hey, bro, you good? How can I tell Chris I'm all right? But I would. In most cases, because the world has trained us to Chris gonna go tell, you know what I'm saying? The enemy's telling me Chris gonna go tell everybody, Chris gonna pick at me, he gonna think I'm weak, like all that. But that's what he wants. The enemy wants me to tell Chris or Jason, whoever called, that I'm all right. You know what I mean? Like, I just looked at the video, man, and Twitch just celebrated his anniversary last week. You know what I'm saying? He just celebrated his anniversary. Last week, as late as Saturday, him and his wife and kids posted a TikTok video, Dad.
But let's think about this. But I don't mean to cut you off, but let's think.
No, that's what we do. This ain't class. Yeah.
Everybody that's on that type of pedestal that they're on, they got friends because they got money.
Right, right.
They ain't got friends that they were broke with. They ain't got those type of friends, man. Chris, they got friends.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Let me ask you this. Leon, how you doing?
I'm good.
Y'all speaking, Leon. Let me ask you this.
I'm good, bro. Good.
Good, Lee. Glad to have you on.
You too, bro.
Like, what's the chances of what you just said magnifying what Twitch was doing? See, Jason probably got a good idea of who. Yeah, you know a lot of people, right? But I'm pretty sure Jason and Leon got a good idea, or in a situation, tough crunch situation. I think we all pretty much kind of know who called and who, more importantly, who not to call. Because who not to call is in that moment when Satan is messing with you, who not to call is more important than who to call. Because if I call 7 people and they don't answer, I might not get to call that many people, right? So So having Leon or having Jason or having Chris, knowing that I can call them, so somebody like Twitch, like you said, that's on that pedestal, how do you decipher why people are around him? You know what I'm saying? He's such a big name and got money. How do he know? How do he know who he could call to get what he
needs? Okay. And that's crazy, because guess what? You're on a set with Ellen every single day. You're on this. And from what I see when they're on the set, it looks like they're very close.
They were.
So my thing is, it's like, why you can't call? Why this brother can't call you? Or have y'all ever had those type of conversations to dig deep into what's going on? Because some people, you know what? Some people that have it well off, everybody think that they ain't got no problems.
Right. Well, they train themselves to master. I go to Dubai for the week. You know what I mean? A lot of times, that's what they do. Because of money, I can go away from people who kind of figuring it out. You know what I mean? Like, hey, when people start asking people that's well off, hey, I noticed this. A lot of times they take off. They can afford to run from their problems. Whereas somebody like me, I kind of got to stay and go to work. I got to, you know what I'm saying? I got to still be around people. So when they notice it, eventually I should be in a situation where I have to talk about it. But when you can just go to Dubai every other week, or whenever you feel like somebody's getting too close to figuring out your thing, because being a celebrity, I feel like it's difficult to just come out and say.
I think the biggest issue with celebrities, especially when you're in the music business, and it kind of goes for any type of celebrity, like you could be music, sports, whatever. Like in the case, like you take Deion, right? Anybody that's familiar with his career, you know, you look at him on the football field. You know, he's always dancing, laughing, talking trash, upbeat, and stuff like that. So you kind of build this image. You kind of build this persona. You know, he did rap music. He's talking about the money that he have and all that. And I think some celebrities, they mix up their career with the personal life.
Their persona, yeah.
When they build up this persona and their personal and their career, they try to keep that in their personal life. Right. Because that's what people see on TV. So it's like when you're having problems, I can't really tell anybody that, because these people think, you know, I'm this money guy, or I'm this guy that dances around consistently and all the time. These things don't pertain to me. You know, I help people. I'm not the guy with the problem. Right. You know, it leads to, they never get help with their situation, and it just gets further and further and further until they get to a point where it's out of control.
I went through that, Jason. Like I told you, when my dad and brother died in 94, so after that, I started playing baseball in the league around here. And instantly, I came on, I bust on the scene. I'm talking about hitting home runs, making diving catches, the whole nine. Everybody loved me. There's so much talk about me. And deep down inside, I used to hate to leave the field. We would stay to the field after the games, 11, Chris Oak. About 11 o'clock at night, right? Wow. I dreaded it when everybody left, because I felt so alone. You know what I mean? When I went home, you know what I'm saying? I'm dealing with the thoughts of my dad and my brother, and not knowing how to process what's going on and what I'm feeling and how to express what I'm feeling. And so all I did was I drank myself to sleep, go to the field the next day on Sunday, do it all again, go back home. Back in that dark place. And so, yeah, I had, it was moments where I could say I had some suicide thoughts. I didn't have a plan. So when I read some of the scriptures, that no self-esteem and that self-worth, that's what the enemy attacked. He attacked my worth. Because who are you after you leave this field? You know what I'm saying? Look at you. Nobody loves you away from fear. You're sitting in this room by yourself in the dark drinking. And so if I knew then what I knew now, that I should have reached out. But at the time, I really didn't know. I did know. Let me stop. I did know. I hated driving there because we moved to Columbia from Newberry right immediately after my dad died. And so driving from here to Columbia after the game, man, it was almost like the Green Mile. And so I knew I was feeling like I hate. What I did, though, I would keep everybody around as long as I could. They'd be like, hey, man, I got to go home. You know what I'm saying? I got a family. But me, scared to go home and be alone, I tried to keep everybody around.
You know, like, I'm going to tell David, because I hadn't met you, Jason, but you know, David, you know, is Leon still on here?
Yeah, Leon on.
Man, I got a situation right now at home at my parents' house. My nephew, Jalen Pitts, fruit bat son. Man, the dude he went to Catawba and felt like he was supposed to start. He played linebacker at Newberry. Felt like he was supposed to start over a guy that transferred from Notre Dame. And you're not gonna get no burn. You got a guy coming from Notre Dame, and he decided to transfer. Messed that up. He didn't mess it up with grades because he was always smart and intelligent and whatnot, but now he's just at my parents' house, man. Just stay stuck up in the room, bro. Don't even come out the room. Don't come out the room.
Hey, you know what I was thinking this week, just going back to Twitch situation. And I think I've read it a couple of times, and Leon got a nice great book out, Finding Me. Yeah, it is actually. Right here. Even though Twitch was on that pedestal, right? Somewhere we always gotta have something that we're striving for, right? If I'm striving, yeah. I'm not a moving target for the enemy, if that makes sense. Once I level off, if I look back, he's not far. It doesn't matter that I'm up here. If I level off up there, when I look back, he's not far behind me. And with your nephew, he's going to have to reestablish some goals. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't, if you ain't doing nothing, you ain't got no goals. You just wait. You really wait on judgment, to be honest.
To be totally honest, man, because he was working at Samsung. And I've never seen anybody. He worked that night, got off at night, and his battery went dead. Battery went dead in the car. It gets off at 12. So instead of calling my pops or calling my mom, this dude walks all the way from Samsung to Helena, bro. And I was just like, my mama say, yo, you know, I put food in here and Jalen won't eat. Jalen will go get peanut butter and jelly. And then he'll say, that's why you don't eat. And he'll be like, I ain't worthy. That's a sign of depression. I ain't worthy.
And that,
what do you mean?
He needs to really go see somebody, because
those three. Go ahead, Peter.
Because we know it's a sign of depression, right? But we don't know what level of depression, because some things he's still masking, right?
Uh huh.
Stay there, and then tomorrow the enemy say, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and have my way. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So I got a couple of guys that's supposed to be coming on. They're not on yet, but Billy nephew just killed himself in September, I think. September or October. Military. In the military. He was in the military. I got another brother, his grandson, does stuff at 26. Like, anybody who's listening to this, this is very serious. So people talk about suicide, right? We hear suicide, but even in the conversation, we rarely hear depression. Happy people don't kill themselves. They don't. Happy people, man, I can't wait to get back out there on the beach tomorrow. I got handful of details. Handful of details. I'm dropping. Depressed people do. And that's what we got to, that's why if we got to go next week and talk about it again, I'm cool with that. Because we got to understand, I want your nephew, somebody to get him, I mean, like jobs, most jobs, I'm pretty sure Samsung has the employee assistant, EAP, employee assistant program. You get 6 free counseling sessions.
Man, listen, he don't even work there no more, man. He got a BMW that sits in the yard. My dad was like, hey, come on, boy, let's get this, go out there and crank your car up. And, you know, I come home every other weekend, and I'd be like, yo, mom, dad, how's Jalen? He all right, he in the room. And my mom would be like, don't say nothing to him. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like,
you gotta say something to him.
Yeah, I go in there, and I got a cousin in Columbia, a little young cousin in Columbia that's going through MS. And I go in the room, I'd be like, yo, Jalen, I'm getting ready to ride down to Columbia to see cuz. You want to ride with me? Nah, I'm just going to stay here. I said, yo, we're just going down. We'll come back. Nah, I'm just going to stay here. He's like, all right.
But see, that the danger in that is the isolation.
Right. He isolates.
Alone, you're in trouble. You're in isolation. You're not doing any counseling. See, the thing about low self-esteem and self-worth, it don't get better. It doesn't naturally. You don't just wake up and listen. I'm talking from experience. You do not wake up and start feeling better on your own. It does not happen.
No, now,
that's what you need for counseling. That's when the counseling is important versus us just chopping it up. We just talking about things that have been through. But when you get to that place that we call a rut, man, it don't get better by itself. And the more you become isolated, the more you're at risk to those dangerous thoughts. I don't really like to say it, but that's just the truth. The more, when I got to the point where, so in turn, I read all the time. In turn, the difference of in the suicide realm, you got the thoughts, which is bad. The thoughts are bad too. The dangerous is the planning. The planning is the danger. See, I got to thoughts. Just because all was going on, I started feeling like, Lord, you took the wrong one. I'm here. I ain't doing nothing. I'm not worth nothing, whatever. But I never got to the planning. You stay isolated. Those thoughts, you start having so many of them thoughts in an isolated place, it transitions into planning. We had a guy at the hospital when I worked at Richmond. I know for 2 years he came in leave. I seen him at least every 2 weeks. They say he came in more, but every night he came in, he said he was going to kill himself. Every night. That he did that to get something to eat or whatever. And so they got tired of him. So he came one night, they wouldn't give him anything to eat, and made him go. The dude looked at us and said, hey, y'all ain't gonna see me no more. You ain't got to worry about me no more. But you know, after 2 years of all that, you know, everybody just brush it off because we heard it all the time. Dude went straight down, walked straight down the middle of 26. Straight down the middle of I-26. I passed him on my way home. I didn't know it was him. And when I got home, someone called me and said it was him. And so it's such a serious thing. And the thing that to me, man, we got so many people, Leon, Jason, Chris. Man, I can do a challenge. I can post on my page. I'm doing a cookout Saturday, free. How many people you think will show up? I mean, take a guess. At least 25. I'm talking about probably more. I'm talking about the minimum of 25. I can get 25 people to come and lick my chicken and potato salad and drink with me. But to in a life and death situation, I think I got, I probably got 10 that I can call that I know I can count on. But that's a low number versus the 25 to 50 that are coming eating potato salad. But it's our responsibility to start forming connections with each other. You know what I'm saying? Last week we talked about telling each other we love each other, which was dope. It was huge. And so now that you know I love you, now it's your responsibility and my responsibility to check. Nah, you ain't got to call me every day. Me and Leon ain't seen each other and talk for years, but when we do, you know what I'm saying? When we do,
yeah,
it's all love. And it ain't, you ain't got to call somebody and check on them every day. But hey, once a week, man, hey, bro, you good? I say every 2 weeks. Because 14 days, man, a lot of stuff, y'all know. As men, 14 days, it ain't the same 14 days was when we was in high school, in junior high school, where our days was planned for us. Tuesday, I got the chorus. Like, as adults, we understand that this is chaotic. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to start reaching out. I do a pretty good job of reaching out to everybody. Me and Leon talk, me and Chris talk. I'm blessed to have you guys. But I'm speaking to the people who's listening who may not have that. You know what I'm saying? Find you somebody, man. This thing, man, do it for your kids. With Twitch situation, man, I hurt so bad for his kids, man. Like, I heard he did some investments. He was down because he lost a bunch of money in Bitcoin. You hear all kinds of stuff. Who knows? But, man, them kids, man, you know, at the end of the day, we got to fight and put ourselves in better situations for our kids. If nothing else, man. Always think about your kids. I can't imagine that my daughter got to live with the thought that I did that to me. I took me from her. You see how that sounds? Took me from her. Like, I just, hey, man, somebody give me some, man. Y'all know I can talk.
Listen, I always say, you know, I work with kids with eating disorders. And I always tell these kids, man, you know, I try to find quotes that'll motivate them to help them eat and things of that sort. But one quote stuck with me. Well, two quotes stuck with me. The first one is, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Right. Oh, man.
You can't stay there. You got to keep going. And then the second one was, your brain is a garden and your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. So
that one too.
Whatever you put in your head, bro, and if you let it manifest there and stay there, it's gonna grow. It's gonna grow. So if you put in your head, I can't, that's what's gonna come out. But if you put it in there,
can't is a cuss word.
Yeah.
In our mentoring program, can't is a cuss word. We don't say can't. You lazy. Right. You don't. Ain't no such thing as can't.
Right. Yeah. So I just look at the situation is that the people that are around us and the people that the young people that we come in contact with, even if they're not hearing this at home, they should hear it from the other people that are around them. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're not going, the way people work right now, sometimes you're not going to hear nothing. You're not going to hear nothing. You're not going to hear you say, you're not going to hear people tell you you're smart, we love you, you're beautiful, keep doing what you're doing, stay positive. It's okay to be odd. In order to be number one, you have to be odd. So you can't roll with everybody.
And let me jump in there before you go further, because you said something. I don't know if it was this time you was talking, but the last time, and then you expounded on it again. When we was young, it wasn't pertinent that our parents did a wellness check on us. We were outdoors in New York, We planned something. And people in the neighborhood, Leon talked about it in the book, the village had their eye on us, right?
Right.
But these kids live totally opposite from us. Most are in a room alone on cell phone, iPad, or laptop by themselves. Yeah. Who knows what they're taking in daily? And then, like you said, their parents, the way the economy is, most of the time working two jobs or long hours. Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to just share that, because sometimes you don't see the likes, you don't see the shares. You think people are not watching you, but you're way more influential than you know, and people got a lot of things that at their attention. So just keep doing what you're doing. Keep it short. Keep it sweet. Stay active, stay out there, man. Trust me, you do a lot more for people than what they willing to come on here and say and do.
Right.
So believe that. You're way more effective than sometimes people want you to know.
Right. Right. Appreciate that, man. You already know, man. Like, man, it's like, because I read it in the book and then everybody touched on it. So anybody who's watching this, as a parent, my mom and dad didn't have the responsibility that parents have now, right? Right. My mom ain't had to pay no, they didn't have to pay no cell phone bill. They didn't have to pay car payments. They didn't have to do those things. Well, now another part of your responsibility should be wellness check. Man, I talk to people all the time, like in our program, in the mentoring program, you know, we have to talk to parents. Man, a lot of them ain't got a clue. There's some parents out here very disconnected with their kids. Right. And so they don't know that the enemy, he is attacking people. That's his job. Steal, kill, and destroy. So if I understand that, why would I not do a wellness check on my kids? My daughter 19. She just turned 19 in September. And when we spend time together, the first thing I do is take her phone. Listen, I'm not trying to have a conversation and you barely listening and all that. I'm just not doing that. I never have. And so for an hour, hour and a half, I have her undivided attention. And so I'm prodding, and hey, anything going on I need to know about. I'm going to keep asking, because most people instinct is to tell you no. You know what I'm saying? Don't get brushed off. That's what I'd like to tell people. Don't get brushed off. Meaning when you do a wellness check, Jason, your homie going to, you going to say, hey, homie, you good? He's going to tell you he's good. He's a dude. You know what I'm saying? He'll do. Because if he wasn't, he'll probably reach out to somebody. So
you have to have a relationship to where they're comfortable with telling mm-hmm. you. Can't have a relationship and being like, oh my God, after they tell you, say, oh my God, what were you thinking? Yada yada yada. They ain't gonna tell you shit else. They ain't gonna tell you nothing else.
Right,
but you gotta establish that relationship to the point where I can tell this person anything, and they're not gonna judge me, and they're not gonna come down on me, especially with our kids. With our kids, you know, I always tell my daughter, hey, tell the truth. You get in less trouble if you tell the truth. You know, if you don't tell the truth, mommy gonna put you on, gonna ground you or whatnot. And then I'm going to say I'm disappointed, and you're going to cry like hell because right. I said I'm disappointed.
Right. Right.
And I ain't even whooped you or nothing. I ain't even whooped you. I just said I'm disappointed. And she would bust out crying.
And see, that's I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say that's a good point with the parents, especially like, you know, with the parents and everything. My father, you know, I lost my mother when I was 11 years old. You know, but my father is 43 years older than me. So, like, as far as the things that he could relate to, he was born in 1938. So as far as, like, you can tell, like, you can imagine, the world is completely different when he was a kid.
Right.
So, you know, he knows nothing about video games. He knows nothing about, you know, being able to even turn on a computer, all the digital world. It's like a foreign language to him. So, you know, when I was coming up, you know, when I was a kid, obviously, you know, I didn't understand certain things the way I understand them now. And, you know, he did his best and everything, you know, no complaints, but he taught what he knows. So, right. Like, for example, like if I wanted to go to McDonald's, they didn't have that when he was coming up. So that was something that he kind of like frowned upon. you know. And I started looking at the things that I was asking him for and, you know, I wanted to do. And when he would frown upon them, you know, he would give me this reaction, like kind of like negative reaction. But basically, he just didn't know because he it's a different era. But, you know, it made me go into a space where I felt like I couldn't talk to him about certain things.
Right,
right.
That's bad. So, you know, I would get myself into things and, you know, I automatically wouldn't go to him. You know, he was off limits because I figured, you know, he wouldn't understand anyway.
Right.
I say that to say, I think parents, even if it's something that you don't believe in, like, for example, like I don't play video games anymore, but I'm still familiar with them. So, you know, I'll go and check out and, you know, check out what my son is playing, you know, get down. I still play basketball. I'm still active. I make sure that I know what's going on, even though, you know, I'm not that age anymore.
Right.
That makes I feel like that makes the kids more comfortable, and that gives them like a sense of, okay, you know, my father's kind of cool. I think I can go to him in this situation. I think I can talk to him. I can talk to him about this.
Right. And
I just have the mentality that if something happens, I want my kids to run to me and not from me.
Mm, absolutely.
That's good stuff, dude.
You know?
A lot of times, that was golden what you talked about, Jason, because I'm such a boom, boom, boom dude. Leon and Chris know me growing up. And it's all about, life is about growth. I was always such a hard-nosed person. So a hard-nosed person became a dad. That hard nose don't just go away. I had to learn that the hard nose was pushing my daughter into a place that I didn't want her to be. So, I mean, I want her to come to me with everything. And then I get frustrated when she wasn't coming to me. I just boom, 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 and come to me wasn't comfortable. It wasn't something that, you know what I'm saying, she felt like she should do. And so I had to rethink the way that I handled being her dad. So I had to let her know that we are a team. I'm on your side, even though I made a lot of mistakes early in parenting because of how I was brought up. And so we live in, like you said, things have changed since I was a kid. And so right now she feels comfortable to come to me.
Yeah, yeah. And the parent has to realize, like you say, the parent has to realize that. And we have, you know, it's unfortunate. We have some people that they kind of just stuck in their way. Mm-hmm. And we have to hope that the kid is able to get older and understand that, you know, the parents just didn't, you know, grow up in that era. You know, it may not be personal. They just not, it's something they're not familiar with.
Right, right. And a lot of times, though, whatever you are, me as an athlete, my goal was always to be the best. And then I started rethinking that and to maximize my ability to be the best I could be. But whatever you are, if you try to, some parents just don't care. I mean, you just being honest. Some parents don't care, right? And that's just what it is. But for a parent that cares, you have to humble yourself and acknowledge the things that you're bad at. Your kid ain't the only bad person in the house. There's a lot of friction. It takes just a friction. One just rubbing by itself, more like a massage. Friction is twist rubbing against each other. And so for me, man, to hear my daughter when she became of age, she told me some things about me that it is no way I swallow. I couldn't swallow it immediately. I couldn't swallow it. There's no way this is true. I love you too much. First thing I started doing was rattling off all the things I do for her. Right?
Right.
She renamed the things that I did that hurt her. Wow. Man, you talking about cuts? Like a little small chainsaw. But because I humbled myself, if I didn't swallow that, I could never become a better parent. No, man. Whatever you involved in, that thing will kind of help you be that. No, your kids will help you be a better parent if you listen to them. But too many times, my dad was a dad that said, you do what I say because I'm dad, period. Like, you know, whatever.
Right.
You do it because I say so. Well, the era that we're in, we got to have communication, open lines of communication. like, this is how I see things, how it should be in my opinion, but I'm gonna listen to you and then we can come together and make this thing work. I still have the final say, but because I listen to you, I can maneuver in a manner that makes you successful. I'm not be successful. I just want to be a better parent, the best I can be. But I can't be a better parent without listening to my child. I don't think so.
Right, right. It's impossible. You have to be open. You have to be open-minded. You definitely have to be open-minded. And on my show, this is something I'm glad like we on this topic. On my show, I do a lot of like teaching too. I have a kids organization called Vision for Kids. And I, you know, these are some of the things that I teach about. And I was going back and forth, you know, with this depression thing about, you know, people feeling like they can't come and talk to other people. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of the reason why. And one of the things that I keep hearing is, you know, it's the trust factor. You know, a lot of people are afraid if they come in and talk to somebody that it would be used against them later.
Right.
And in many cases, you know, that's true. You know, some people have like ulterior motives. You know, as y'all mentioned earlier, you know, everybody's not your friend, especially like if you're a celebrity, you know, they could be just there for money or there, you know, to gain something, you know, valuable other than, you know, a relationship with you. And I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult because every relationship that you have with each individual is different. So it's like you have to decide for like who you can trust and who you can't.
But the thing is that I'm thinking about is that you only need two. You only need two. So you only need two people, not even two. Sometimes you just need one. You know, sometimes I go through shit as far as bills and paying bills and money. And I just call my dad just to vent. And he'll be like, boy, you need something? Nah, dad, I'm straight. You sure? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm straight. I just wanted to call you and vent, man. It's tough, but I just call you to vent. Boy, you sure you straight? Yeah, I might get your mama to send you some money. I'll be like, nah. You know, so, you know, it only takes one or two. But people, men have to get off that that tough boy, that it's tough true. Guy thing to, I mean, we carrying loads and loads on our back. And we just gotta, sometimes you just gotta, I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to say nothing. I just want you to listen.
Right.
Let me get this off my
You know, one part of the spectrum, and it's about the masculinity. I talked a lot about the masculinity that we've been brought up in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have less issue of finding some people to reach out to than we do with actually hearing the truth that someone has to say in terms of what we're dealing with. As men, we don't receive things that well, right? So even though I know I'm struggling, if I call Jason, I have to be humble enough. I don't have to agree. I ain't calling in to agree because I'm in a crunch. I'm in a bad situation. But still, some of us are so masculine and so puffed up that we won't allow ourselves to receive what Jason or anyone of you guys may say. And that's how people stay in that rut, because we don't have the humility. I respect each and every one of you guys. And if I call, I'm calling for a reason. The reason is to get help. I can't get help if I don't respect what you say. You know what I mean? If Jason say, hey, you say you've been going through this such and such for a minute, I would try it that way. You try it this way, that don't work. But in my mind, I know this don't work, right? So I ain't getting help. I'm just wasting both of our time, honestly. And so part of that getting help when you need it is to find someone that you respect, and the two, when they give you something, even though it might be tough to swallow. Most things that's true are tough to swallow.
That's a good point.
Don't have a lot of sugar on it. Because we live in a society that don't value the truth anymore. So if I'm in a situation and I need help and I call somebody, it ain't going to sound good. I'm in a bad place. There's nothing Leon and Jason and Chris going to quit and going to say that's going to feel good because I'm in a rut anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jason might say, Todd, you're going on sleep. Hey, I can't sleep. I just told you, I ain't been asleep in 3 days. No, man, that ain't crazy. I want to hear more. Leon might say, hey, man, go get you a coffee. I done drunk a 12-pack. You know what I mean? Chris might say, go get the PlayStation. Man, I've been up 3 days playing the PlayStation. No man told the enemy, he's not going to let you process what your friend. He's going to fight everything that you try to do. And so when you reach out to your friends, your friend giving you the best meat, the best nugget, the enemy going to make something, everything that that person says, questionable because he's trying to kill you mentally. He's trying to kill you mentally.
And but then he this is you. But this is when I feel like this is when we're supposed to give our fellow comrades you know the saying give a man food, he have food for a day. Teach him how to fish, he have food for life, right?
Right.
This is when we have to give these guys, our fellow comrades, our feather brothers, tools to do these things. If we tell you something for a day, you feel good for a day. But if I give you the tools of what to do, then you'll be all right daily. So what I'm saying is that I gotta give you the tools to change your thought process. You know, when things are bad, remember what I said about the garden. When things are bad, you gotta plant different seeds in your head, and you gotta change the narrative right then and there. You have to. You know, there's been days where I've been like, man, God damn, something gotta change, bro. I'm working my ass off, something gotta change. And then I said, you know what? Let me change my thought process. Let me change my thought process and let me start being more financially alert on what I'm doing and what I can cut out and things of that sort. So I turned a negative into a positive, and you have to be able to do that real quick. I mean, it's almost like, what's the word they say? You know, doing the same thing and doing the same thing. And you're still getting the same outcome. So sometimes you're going to have to disrupt something in your life in order to get a different outcome. And everybody.
One thing that I really focus on in mentoring and anybody that I talk to, a huge weapon against depression is self-identity and self-awareness. A lot of times we get scooped up by the enemy into depression while we're searching for who we are and our direction, what moves me. When I have, like I talked about them goals, you know what I'm saying? If I'm headed somewhere, nobody can catch, it's hard for someone to catch me if I'm moving, right? So knowing who I am, that's huge, knowing who I am, because the enemy telling you, he's gonna tell each one of us tonight, going to tell each one of us tonight, we're nobody. So knowing that I am somebody is a huge thing, especially for younger folk. See, that's why, man, I never heard of bullying. I graduated in 1989. I think the first time I heard the term bullying was in the 90s, probably late 90s, honestly, God, too. Because back then, somebody mess with you, you beat them up, and y'all leave each other alone for a little while. But no such thing as bullying. And so the foundation of bullying is that people are fighting for their identity. You know what I'm saying? You, I'm stronger than you. You weak. I can beat you. I can do whatever because you won't fight back. Everybody in a basket fighting for who they are. And that's why bullying has become prevalent, because you've got a whole generation of people trying to figure out who they are and where they're headed. And I talked to, I don't know who I talked to the other night, but about trying to live up to parents' expectations. A lot of times we are putting our kids in situations where they're feeling like failures. And some of it is because we're not being honest with our kids about who we are. You know what I'm saying? We talk to our kids about who we are now, how I got to where I'm at today, like 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I decided to open business. Now I'm doing great.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Todd.
Uh-huh.
So do you think parents do that because they didn't live up to their expectations? So they set out these expectations on their kids and go so hard on that because of that? Do you believe in that?
Oh, man. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. So now I found out who I am, right? I didn't know. I didn't meet what I thought I was going to be. Never really. It took me a long time to figure out who I am. And now I'm successful. I'm happy with whatever I am. And so now I talk to my kids about what I am. I put that on them. And now they going hard trying to be something that you expect them to be. We should always have a relationship with our kids enough to know what they want to be. What are their talents? What are their gifts? You might be an IT genius, but your kid might be a musical genius, right? And even if they become an IT person, the happiness that comes with something that you love may not be there. And that's where the depression ends up. I'm in this, I accomplished what my parents wanted me to do, and it feels miserable. You know what I'm saying? I did everything that in front of me, and it feels terrible because you ain't operating your gift. Just because you do something, yeah. I had to learn the hard way. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you see, and I'm going to give you my answer, but do you see more depression in males or females?
I see it more in males, because I'm going to say why. Most females, it's still a bunch of women that take care of the home, right? So I can't look. I'm talking about me as the male, black man, married black man, or in the home with my family, my significant other. I can't notice the changes easily while she in there cooking, baking, doing what women do in the house or what men do in the house. Also, it's very hard to notice, because unless she ain't cooking, you know what I mean? She ain't washed no clothes in 3 weeks. She haven't cooked. Generally, the routine of what women do looks, it's more a normal thing than us. A lot of times we mask ours, we'll go hide at work. You know what I'm saying? We'll work 2 shifts. You know, so we'll dress it up like I'm saving, provide for my family. You know what I'm saying? So then I see it, but we don't have the conversations about it. So I see it. You know what I'm saying? I seen a dude at the liquor store one time. I seen him every time I went back to the liquor store. And he wasn't a drinker. And I did. I asked him. He was asking me about a ball game. I'm like, hey, cuz, you good? He was like, what you mean? I said, I think you know what I mean. You know what he did? He shushed me and got on in the car. He knew what I meant now. He knew exactly what I meant, because I said it in the way. I said, hey, cuz, are you good? I see you up here every day this week. He said, yeah. Man, just went, and he went right back to work. And when I say hiding at work, I ain't talking just physical up in there. Their responses go to work. He talked about work because it's a safe place. You can't.
But I feel like that's what's been put, like, drilled in our head. So right. I feel like with man, I feel like we don't talk about it because we feel like we don't have the time to talk about it. Right. Our only answer we've been told is go work and figure it out. You know what I mean?
And remember, I talked to you about it, you know, and Q, that's everybody, that's Q. Quentin had the conversation about depression. So that's why I really wanted to do the first one about depression, because for him, a young man, to actually open up, man, I was so impressed. I was proud that he felt like I was someone that he can trust and talk to. And it just shined a light. If I'm dealing with it, he's dealing with it. It's people dealing with it. So, but society has made us feel good about things, the car, being able to get that car, that house. You know how many people need nice homes? You know how many people need nice homes and need a nice house? That's miserable. I lived in a 6-bedroom house before I moved back last year on a golf course. On a golf course, driving a Mercedes SUV. Nothing tangible can make you happy. Nothing. Nothing tangible can make us happy. And we have to drill that into our spirits. It's not because, man, the enemy, he has so much power. He has power as well. We talk about that a lot in the boxer group. He can make that Mercedes look like nothing. He'll make you feel bad about you want something bigger than a Mercedes. So guess where you at now? You back at work more and more and more and more and more, trying to chase more. And so until we get out of the mindset, our mindset has to be inner peace. Whatever it comes in different forms for different people. Like for me, I get a book. If I got a book, the enemy don't even look at it. Like, I'm in the book, bro. You can't touch it. So we got to find our peace in other things. Stuff, material things. I would go on. Do you, Jason? I know you remember. You remember when that economic crisis hit in around 2007?
Yeah.
You remember when the economy went back?
Yeah.
I moved to Memphis in 2008 or 2009. Yeah. And man, I met so many people who had moved from Detroit. The auto industry was the biggest thing hit.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Right. People, when you guys get a chance, look it up. And the depression aspect of that. Man, people, literally hundreds of people killed themselves. You know why? Because they lost their houses and their cars that they took pride in. They literally killed themselves because they lost things. That is mind-boggling to me that we put the kind of value on those, and I understand it though. I do understand it because you work so hard for it. But to lose it couldn't make me jump off a bridge. You know what I mean?
But do you think? So, do you think that the people that suffer from depression, do you think it's because they value the wrong thing?
I think that's an element.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Is that like the? Do you think that's the main thing I should say?
I think it is. I think it is, and it ties to your identity. Because if I know who I am, my car is just my car. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing. I feel good about it because I work hard about it. But it ain't. If I wreck it today or somebody steal it, it's just what it is. I got insurance. I might have another one. Whatever. Knowing yourself is huge too.
And I take that back to my nephew. God bless his soul. I take that back to my nephew. Being the linebacker at Newberry High School, you the man, you the man. You go to Catawba, you ain't the man. So you work out 3 and 4 times a day, body of a God, and you had it planned. You had it all planned. That I'm going to make it. I'm going to go Division I. I'm going to make it. And when it don't happen,
right.
when you make decisions, like you could have stayed at Catawba and waited your turn. But when you don't wait your turn, and then you try to transfer somewhere else, and things don't happen for you, and now you're getting older, another year passed by, and this is what you wanted to do. I really feel as if his depression comes from that, and also from, you know, being in a, you know, single, your mom and your dad ain't together. Now your mom got a new guy.
now they ain't together and all that stuff and things of that sort. You know, now I'm out working. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, he'll say things and I feel like he says things to shut me up or to shut us up. I'd be like, hey, yo, what's your plan, bro? Hey, man, I'm thinking about going to the military, yada, 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 yada. Okay, cool. And then I'm quiet. Then I don't say nothing else because he'd probably be like, okay, I got him off my back and I don't want them to talk about nothing else.
But nothing. Think about how depressing each day that he goes to work when he was working. Think about it. He went to work because he kind of had to. Man, he don't want to be at work when he had that much big of a goal. Every time he clocked in, he's going from a place of isolation at the house, right? He's isolated at the house. And then he's clocking in on a job that he didn't see himself at. It don't matter what kind of job it is. Don't matter if you're getting paid good money, but they pay decent money. It just doesn't, not in terms of depression. In terms of depression, him going to that job every day makes him more and more, some form of fashion, making more and more depressed.
And I totally get you. But, you know, sometimes I'd be sitting out there with my dad on the car porch, and he'd be like, boy, what you think wrong with Jalen? And then sometimes being as harsh as I can be, which I know is depression, but also being as harsh as I can be, I'd be like, he ain't got that dog in him.
Hey, Chris. Thank God. I don't know if you know Donald Kincaid. Donald was a cop here. Donald graduated in 88, I graduated. But Donald is over. When we get off of here, I'm gonna hit you up, send you his information. Donald is over some JUCO programs, and that just is the perfect. Donald talked, and the person he even told me, he said, "God is gonna come to you and send me somebody that I need," and I ain't whatever. This is the perfect situation for your nephew. Know what I'm saying? Because think about it, he wanna go to D1, right?
You're running out of time when that age start ticking up. I think Jalen's what, about 22, 23, 24?
Oh, man, what's Stetson Bennett? How old is Stetson Bennett? 26? Georgia quarterback.
Oh, okay.
25 or 26. He's older than LeVar Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so. Yeah, now the time thing, it like when we get over here, and within the next week or so, he got some time because the holidays is coming up. They're going through that break. See, this is what you was talking about with the mustard seed of faith. He's gonna have to trust you. You know what I'm saying? He ain't working right, so this is the time. He shouldn't be working. He should invest all of his energy in his dreams. I had 299 jobs. Trust me. when you got something bigger on your mind, a job just ain't gonna do it for you. And just I think him going to JUCO is one in California. He just got another one. And so him, especially getting away from Newberry, he gonna have to man up on some things. And Donald is a great guy. He'll be there for him every step of the way. And so, I'm so glad you came on tonight. Because each kid that we can help, man, we got to do it. You know what I'm saying? That JUCO route is, man, Google how many people came from the JUCO in the NFL. Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam Newton went after he stole the laptop.
But you know
it's becoming bigger, too. It's not just a place. A lot of people believe JUCO is a place for people that's troubled or got in trouble, and that's not the case.
A lot of talent.
And a lot of people go that route because of, you know, different things, and it's becoming more and more big. A lot of people it's becoming more of a first option than, you know, in the big programs. Yeah.
Right. That's what he said.
But the thing is that I hear what you guys are saying. I really truly hear what you guys are saying. But you still gotta have that fire. you got to have that desire to want to continue to do this. You know, when I graduated from Newberry in 89, got a scholarship to Newberry College, and my mom said, no, you ain't going to Newberry College to play no baseball because you have too many friends in Newberry and you're not going to get no studying done.
Amen.
I understood it. So I ended up going to Clinton Junior College in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Got there. My mom told me, she said, yeah, they got a football team. They got a baseball team. Got there, they didn't have no baseball team. I signed all the paperwork and everything. Baby, you got any questions? Yes. Do y'all have a baseball team? Baby, we ain't got no baseball team. I looked at my dad. You know what my dad told me? My dad said, you can come back home if you want to. I was like, hell no. I ain't going back home because I was working summer, doing summers at Georgia Pacific.
Right. You were working with my dad.
I wasn't going back to damn Georgia Pacific. I was not going back to Georgia Pacific, bro, in that hot ass damn plant.
Right, right.
Working on that plywood line. I was working and I was just like, nah, I'm gonna stay here. And every day I worked on my craft. Every day I worked and got somebody to walk up to the park with me, and I would throw baseballs down to second base, take ground balls at third base, hit. And then I went to St. Aug, walked on St. Aug, and then I got a full scholarship, and I would call all 4 years. Beat out two catchers that was there before me, and they quit. After our first game at ECU, they quit because I started as a freshman. So what I'm saying is that you got to have that dog, man. You got to have that dog in you, man. And he just ain't, you know, the fire don't went out, bro.
When you come back home, let's get together with him and talk. And then sometimes the enemy can kill your dog. The enemy kills your dog.
But listen.
Let's not confuse unrealistic expectations with not having dogs. He went to the top of unrealistic expectations. I don't think it's that he didn't have dogs. I think he didn't go up there with realistic expectations. I know the Dane dude going to have the edge in the coach's mind over anybody. No, right. That's just how it is. And he didn't understand that. I don't want to say he don't have a dog, because the enemy will take the dog out of all of us. Self-worth. The dog is your self-worth. How hard you going to go. But the enemy going to kill that. That's what he's going to attack. So he's a football player. If the enemy kills his dog, he's back at Samsung. You know what I mean? If he kills the dog inside of him, he's back in the workforce. And so I want to get together with you when you come back. We've taken my
it's going to take. Listen, him and his dad. I don't know if you know Terrence. What's Terrence's name, man? Terrence about 6'7", 6'8" fruit bat. No. Terrence Pitts. But anyway,
I don't know nobody that though.
Yeah, man. You know, his dad tried to sit down and talk with him. Like, yo, Jalen went over to his dad's house and was like, yo, man, we're gonna sit down and have a talk. I'm going to take a shower and we're gonna go out and grab something to eat. Terrence gets in the shower, Jalen gone. Jalen Lee, he come out the house, Jalen gone.
Hey, let's not. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, you can't. My personal experience, like, you can't give people the opportunity to know what you're about to do.
Right, right.
Once he said that, he knew what was coming.
Right.
See, right now he's gonna like stay far away he can. You have to catch him on the spectrum.
Yeah, but okay. So David comes over to my parents' house, and we go in the back room and be like, Jalen, come on, put your clothes on. We're getting ready to go out to eat. If he say no, then what we gonna do?
Hey, Chris, Who you keep calling David?
Me? Huh?
Who you keep calling David? You did that earlier. Who you calling
David? My bad, man. But I know what I'm saying is Todd. My bad, Todd.
I'm like, who is David?
but yeah, I mean, if me and Todd go over there and it'll be like, yo, put your clothes on. And he said, nah, I'm just going to stay here. We can't jack him up and tell him to come on. Who going to fight this damn 6 foot dude?
No, I wouldn't do that anyway, because even if he agreed to go to school, he'll be right back. I'm not trying to make him do anything. I just want to give another perspective from older guys who's been there and done what you did. I went to school to play football. So
right,
we could talk about it. You went to school to play baseball. I'm showing you another avenue to get what you say you want. It ain't for me. I'm showing you that I have some means. I know a guy. I'm talking about if we go, Donna get him right in. I'm talking about no questions asked. But he got to want it. No one can make nobody want them but that individual themselves. All we can do is show you the opportunities that are available to you.
And then that goes back to what you were saying too, Todd. Like, his perspective on it, the enemy is changing it already. So, like, just for you an example, it'd have been times you done gave me a different perspective on things, and I looked at it completely different now than what I was looking at it, because in my head, all I just seen was negative.
Right. Negative become the normal. You know what I'm saying? Once the enemy convinced us that, so if negative is normal, positive no longer exists, right? So then Jason and Chris sat down with Chris' nephew next week. If the enemy has convinced him that negative is normal,
who is David?
But if he still believes that it's, if he still have hope, then we're good. But if he thinks everything is negative, then we probably in trouble.
Right. He may not know he still has that opportunity. Because
right.
of his age.
That's why I want to present it to him.
And honestly, I've been in his position. Like, I done went to JUCO, got kicked out of JUCO, went to Benedict, ended up having a baby. I done been in his position and seeing and feeling like, you know, it's over with. I don't see nothing coming out of it, anything like that. And I done had people put other opportunities, put different perspectives in my head, and just be like, I needed that. But at that time, I didn't think I needed it.
And see, there you go. You put different seeds in your garden. And like Todd said, the enemy, the weeds have taken over on him. You know, if we look at the way I said, you know, the brain is the garden and the thoughts are the seeds, you can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. So obviously the weeds have taken over my nephew's head. And we got to, you know, Todd, we'll do something different. You know, I'll be home, not this weekend coming up, but the following weekend. And now we'll try to talk to him. And once we get off the phone, we can get that number. And I would rather have that coach give him a call. And if Jalen don't pick up the phone, for him to leave a message.
Donald definitely, we can show him it on the laptop, on the computer. Hey, man, this is a chance. If you believe in you, we believe in you. See, another element, I think me and Quinn talked about it. A lot of people don't have people that believe in them. Hey, right. A person that don't feel like nobody believes in them, they're the quickest person to quit. Number one, they don't have a motivation to keep going. If don't nobody believe in me, who am I letting down? I ain't letting nobody down. I quit. But when you have, man, I remember, Chris, remember when we played ball up at Gallman? My dad, one of the proudest things about my dad that I am proud about, my dad had three sons, and he only missed one game. And we always played stuff. He missed one game in his life. Looking over and see my mom and dad, I didn't even really see the other people in the bleach. Knowing my mom and my dad was there was everything. But think about how many people don't really have that person, and it ain't got to be sports, whatever it is that you're trying to do. If you don't have a cheerleader, that's why the cheerleaders are not insignificant. They're cute, they're pretty, you know, they got a little routine, but they have a role. They do have roles during games.
You know,
they get
you know
around, worked up, the team.
And you know, And you know what my dad told me before I got married? Before I got married, my dad said, Chris, you need to find your cheerleader. Mm. And I was like, I don't want no white girl. that's what I said. I don't want no white girl, you know, because that was at Newberry.
Right.
And he was like, no, that's not what I'm saying. He said, I want you to find somebody that's going to cheer for you when you're down and cheer for you when you up. He said, when y'all was getting y'all ass beat in football by 20 by Clinton, them girls were still over there cheering.
Right.
And then when y'all were winning, they were over there cheering. And that's the way I looked at, that's the way I look at life now when it comes to relationships and things of that sort. You know, I'm going to cheer for Jalen. You know, every time I come home, he'd be like, Uncle Chris, you bring your glove? And I always bring the glove. Sometimes I don't want to bring the glove because I'll be like, yo, what the fuck we out here? What the hell we out here damn throwing baseballs for? But this is all you want to do.
Right.
But I continue to bring him. You know, I continue to bring him, and now he just don't even ask no more. You know, I'd be like, yo, you want to go outside and throw? Nah, I'm just going to stay in here. Huh? I'd be like, all right. So I'm not going to say I'm throwing in the towel, but what I'm saying is that
we can't even have that thought. God would show us what Jalen that when we if we can't get him to sit down, if we can't get him to go sit down and talk about it, they go our answer. We ain't throwing in the towel. He did. See, we have to allow Jalen to throw in the towel. I'll never give up on him if he's trying. But if he can't sit down with us, then they go our answer. He don't want it enough. But if he want it, we'll make it happen for him. He just got to want it. You can't make him want it. I can't make him want it. But if he want it, we're going to sit down and make this thing go, man. It's 8:30. You know, we've been on an hour and a half, man. Another great night, man. Jason, give me something in closing.
I think beautiful conversation today. I'm glad y'all had me on, man. I'm glad I could be a part of it. You know, chance to chop it up. I think overall, in general, you know, parents, we got to do a better job of, like, relating to our children, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much times have changed. I think, you know, I like the being a man, it doesn't make you soft if you're reaching out to people and you open it up, telling people that you have a problem. I think, you know, we need more help with that. And this in general, like, you know, we have to make people feel comfortable in a space where, you know, you can come and talk to me.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can reach out to me. I'm here. You know, let's put, you know, put other people first. You know, take care of yourself, but putting other people first, caring about what other people are going through. Don't take nothing for granted. You know, just because I smile, I might not be all right. Just because I got, you know, just because somebody have $1 million in their pocket, they might not be all right. Don't take nothing for granted. And this overall, man, let's look out for each other. You know, we all we got.
We all we got, man. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. I don't know if you guys ever saw TK Kirkland when he spoke with Mike Tyson. And he said, Mike, how do you look at life? How do you look at years? He's like, Mike said, it's 365 days in a year. And TK Kirkland said, no, there's 365 tries. There's 365 tries in a year. And right. The man upstairs, God wants you to succeed so bad that he blesses you every year with another 365. I'm 51 years old. I don't have 51 tries, bro. To be successful. I don't know y'all ages, but you think about it. It ain't 365 days of the year no more. It's 365 tries right. To be successful. And every year The man upstairs wants you to succeed so bad that he blesses you with another 365 tries. Whew. That's amazing, bro.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Everybody don't get those tries. Some people 26, 27 and gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of people in the United States, in the world, but in the United States, there's going to be a lot of people don't see tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't see tomorrow. And the thing that's, I ain't going to say scary, but the thing that make you think, most don't know. Most of them don't know that this is their last night. And so for me, being an officer at the hospital, I put in, I'm going to say at least 500 bodies in the morgue. If not more, probably more. Because I've been there 5 years. And I put a body in the morgue almost every day. But it changed my perspective. Most of the people that I put in the morgue probably didn't realize that was his last day either. So good stuff, Chris. Yeah. I'm glad you popped on. Good stuff.
Yeah, but see, like, what do we do with that? How do we, you know, Todd, you know, my parents always said you got the community center.
We're gonna get together, man. I got some things that me and Warren in the group, some more guys, I wanna plan some stuff like monthly. So we got it, right? So I want to put some stuff on the calendar monthly. And see, with us around here, we got to put things out there early. That's just where we at, and we got to do it that way. But I'll get with you. I'm going to text you and call you when you get off.
Yeah, man, because I would love for my dad. I would love for my dad and Reverend Caldwell to be there. And to see older guys wanting to keep this community together, either with their kids or bring your kids, and we sit down and talk, and if they raise their hand and they got questions,
yeah,
talk about that. Things, you know, and we just have that open forum just to give some food, bro, just to give some information and some food, especially for the young kids. You know, you ain't got to roll with these guys, roll solo dolo. You got, in order to be number one, you got to be odd.
Right. That's my motto.
You gotta be different than everybody.
Hey, let me get the cue, Chris. We'll chop it up in a second. Let's get the cue and then we get out of here.
All right, man.
Cue, give me some.
The biggest thing I took away from tonight was the depression. The depression topic that we touched on. I think that was real good. And,
that's
all I got for right now. I kind of got up late.
Okay. Hey, go back. I'm sharing it. Just go to my page and check out the rest of it that you missed. This is good stuff early, man. I'm really happy that you was on. I was definitely looking for you last week. Because really the conversation that I had with you is the reason why I really wanted. Because I had some couple other guys call me too, but the comment, you talked about it multiple times. So I'm glad you got on. I mean, I just want everybody to really, I want to challenge everybody to, before the end of the year or headed into 23, get at least 3 accountability partners. Chris said 2. I say 3. So I could be going on with 1 or 2. You know what I'm saying? No, 3. If you get to 3 accountability, and that requires bond. I ain't talking about just reach out and get somebody's number. That's not accountability partner. Is you got to get to know them. You got to know that you can trust them. You got to know that they are somebody that's going to be a straight shooter. They're going to give you what you need. If you get accountability partner and you get in that dark place and you call and they just pretty much go with the flow, that's not an accountability partner. Accountability partner, they, hey, you need to get out of that strip club. You know you struggle with pornography. You need to get your ass out of that strip club. That's an accountability partner. Not, hey, bro, what it look like? Is Cinnamon working tonight? Is Red? That's not an accountability partner. Accountability partner is somebody that you really know. You don't want to hear what they got to say, but you want to hear what they got to say. You know what I mean? You don't want to hear it, but you want to hear it. And you definitely need it. That's the part of the accountability that you need it. You need to hear what they got to say. You don't really got to like it. But I challenge everybody to get an accountability report. I got five.
And Todd, you said it best. I don't like that accountability partner because at the end of the day, we've lost that word of friend. Friend is going to tell you when you're wrong. Friend is going to tell you when you're right. And, you know, I have a friend here that would tell me when I'm wrong. He's like, I know you probably ain't going to talk to me tomorrow, but you'll talk to me the next day. Right. You know what I'm saying? You might be mad at me for what I'm about to tell you. You might not talk to me tomorrow, but you'll talk to me the next day. You'll call me tomorrow and say, you were right.
Right.
Accountability partner. Accountability partner. We need to go back to that.
We took friends out of context.
Yeah, because absolutely.
In general, your friends, the people that we call friends, has a portion to do at times to why people in them dark places. So a lot of, when I say accountability partner, a lot of times this person is not somebody that I necessarily, when I say a friend, of course he's would be, but he's not somebody that I'm doing things with like consistently because they got business. They're out there handling themselves. That's the respect right. element that I have. I love him.
Okay, I got you.
We ain't shooting pool every Thursday, every Friday, Saturday. He's not in the environment that got me kind of twisted and jacked up sometimes. My friend,
I got you.
I look to the left, Monte over there. I look to the right, Joe over there, and my dog, right? I can't now call them when we just left the juke joint. we just left the juke joint together. How they gonna help me? They can't really help me. We just left the same hole. You know what I mean? So that's the... Start talking about
I understand what you're saying because you know being married when I was married, it was just like, hey, the baseball team getting ready to go hang out. It was like, yo, what time are we going to hang out? We're gonna meet at such and such house by 11. And they would say, don't call Chris. Chris ain't coming. If he ain't out by 11, if he's not out by 8, he's not coming. Right. Because you know right. he's going home at 12. So right. those are the type of guys that, hey, we're meeting at Sam's house at 11. Y'all call Rita? Nope, ain't no need because he ain't coming.
Right. that's why the accountability partner, my accountability partner is my mentor. He lives in Raleigh. Ron is 66 now, 67. Maybe 68, 69, but he's a man, a true man of God. And the dude know me so well, like he'll call me. The dude can call me and tell me what's going on with me. I'm talking about it's the craziest thing. And so when I tell him what's going on, he already told me, I said, yeah, boom, boom, boom. He said, hey, you need to stop XYZ and you need to redo XYZ. That's what I need. I seen him last year when I went to Raleigh. I haven't even seen him in 2022. But we have a connection that's so weird. But that's the kind of people you want. Most of the time, Chris, your friends are vested in your mess. your closest friends, they invested in your mess. When we were running women, my partners, they ran. You know how it worked. When I had a girl, they had a girl. But they was generally the same set of girls. So if I'm messed up in women issues, I can't now call them because they one of them probably introduced me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so how likely is one of the guys that hooked me up with the girl? What's the chance of him giving me good advice in terms of like a messed up situation in there? Right. So great night. Hey, I think next Saturday I want to talk about disposition. Unless you guys got something else, I think disposition is what I wrote down next, and mean mug each other, and the importance of disposition. If you guys got something else, text it to me, give me a call, whatever. I just think in our young men, Quentin age, they got an absolutely terrible disposition.
How old is Quentin? Quentin, how old are you?
24.
24? Okay.
So,
well, I'm proud of you, brother. I'm proud of you for being over here with some of these OGs, man. I'm proud of you.
Hey, Quinn, great young fella, man. Great young guy, man. If we had a whole bunch of more Quinn, we wouldn't be no need for us to pop up. Well, this is for everybody, but man, I want to really reach the younger guys and show them, hey, man, if you're doing something, we've been there, we've done that. Might need to take another turn to the right. Hey, man, we out of here. Love you guys. I'm going to watch a little football. See what my San Francisco Giants doing. We signed a big team. We're about to make some noise. And, hey, love you guys. Man, I'll be good.
Love you too, man. Y'all take care. Love y'all, bro.
All right.
All right. Love y'all, man.
Yeah.
All right.